What a difference a week makes. Welcome inside the morning tailgate. Fire up that barbecue. Grab a buddy and a beverage. Saddle in. Because we got to have a conversation today, boys. Raider Nation Radio 920. We're taking your calls on a Monday where the Raiders inexplicably get blown out in their home opener to the Carolina Panthers 36-22. 702-365-9200. If you don't have the will to speak up, you can hit us up on the Dollar Loan Center text line. Again, 702-365-9200. It is Vince, Vinny, and Clay. Guys, a lot to talk about. The prevailing thought, you know, a little less than 12 hours or so after what was, let's just call it what it was, an absolute beatdown. An absolute beatdown in front of the Raider Nation. A team that was not prepared, a team that was not inspired, a team that was not ready to play, which despite the poor execution or clunkers of a game that we've seen under head coach Antonio Pierce, this was the first time things looked lifeless out there on the field in terms of the play. And one of the other overarching themes is what Antonio Pierce had to say after the game in terms of what was the reason, why was there not a feeling of inspiration or life or vigor or attacking the ball? And he talks about business decisions being made by players as the game went on. We're going to hear from him later up on the show. Former Raiders or current Raiders legend Eric Allen, Monday morning quarterback, will join us, try and help put the pieces together of what was a shattered locker room in terms of the confidence, in terms of the frustration, in terms of looking for answers. Eric Allen's going to join us at 8 a.m., but I will just toss it up here on the table at the tailgate. Vinny, you look like you're amped up. What do you make of Sunday?
Well, a couple things. Number one, you said inexplicable. And like 3 days ago, I would have agreed with you. But now, is it really? Is it really inexplicable what happened yesterday to this team, to the Raiders? You know, last week in Baltimore, there were players openly talking about being disrespected. You disrespected us. We were being disrespected coming into this game. And when I hear athletes talk about being disrespected, what they're really saying is you don't believe in us. You didn't believe in us. You didn't believe. You didn't have confidence in us. And here's my question. Why should anyone truly be confident in the Raiders? Why should anyone believe in the Raiders? What the hell have they done to really earn true belief and true confidence? And for guys to sit there and say, you're wrong for not believing me, and make you feel like you're the small one, you're the wrong one, mm-hmm. for not respecting them by not believing in them wholeheartedly. How is that disrespectful? At what point are the Raiders going to truly earn that respect? Clay, I ask you this. They have 14 games left in this season, right? How many games are they favored in right now to win?
Not many.
How many?
I think they just have one, and it's against Denver.
Is that disrespect at this point to the Raiders? Are people being disrespectful to them because they don't have confidence in them moving forward? Or is that warranted? Is that skepticism absolutely justified?
You have to earn respect.
Absolutely, 1,000%. I never heard of the Raiders that I grew up watching, talking about disrespect. There was no... They went out there and kicked ass week after week. No, they didn't win every game. Nobody wins every game. The Miami Dolphins are the only team to win every game that they played. You're going to lose some games. They didn't talk about the disrespect. They went out and earned the respect. I never heard Kobe Bryant talking about, you disrespected me. He didn't care what you said, Vince. He didn't care what you said, Clay. He went out there game after game after game and took care of business. And whatever you want to decide that to be, you decided that to be. But he was closed ears to any of it anyway. I'm tired of the Raiders asking for people to respect him. I'm tired of the Raiders saying that they're being disrespected when there's not a whole lot of confidence. And here's the thing. I feel silly at this point because all last week we gave them the utmost respect. I'm being accused right now, and probably rightfully so, of talking down to some of the nation for last week for questioning the Raiders. I was like, no, you believe in them. This is a great defense. They're not going to lay an egg against them, but show actual belief in them. And Raider fans are telling me, you haven't been around long enough to understand why we feel like we feel. Mm-hmm. Because every step forward that gets taken gets followed by two steps backward. That's what happens to us whenever we show that belief and that respect in this team. We get our hearts crushed. And I sat here and kind of, nah, come on. And now I feel silly.
Because, I was right there. I mean, I was right there with you. Right. Not only on this show.
So I apologize, first of all.
On air.
Yeah.
Yeah, on air, on here. I was on multiple guest radio spots throughout the week. And again, I say inexplicable to open the show because I agree with you. I have to apologize to the nation.
Right.
If I instilled a false hope or false belief, I just, it's inexplicable. You know,
it should be inexplicable, but with this team, it's not. That's what's sad.
We talked about last week that it wasn't a question of will they win it. It's by how much.
Right. We were talking about what it should look like. Right.
I said, and I put my flag down. I said it was going to be a 2-score game. It was a 2-score game.
Right.
I did not see a scenario. I could not, Clay. I could not cook up a scenario where it was a 2-score game the opposite way, and it was 36-22 was the final score, and that was not indicative of truly how close or in this case how far apart these two teams on the field really were.
We were thinking how different this time around would be different than other classic letdown situations. The defense was so much better than it had been in previous regimes. You have a coach that wouldn't allow letdowns. When we saw when he was an interim coach last year, there were cases for a sandwich spot to be let down after a bad loss or a high victory. And so all these things were going into it as like tangible evidence of why you should feel differently.
And the problem is it's the how. It's, you know, we talk about, you know, it's one thing to do. It's another thing how it looks, right? We talk about that a lot, especially with this Raiders team, especially when you're talking about trying to find growth. I said last week, you had to win this game in a manner that was befitting of a team that earned respect,
right.
earned a new vote of confidence, because I thought it was going to be a step for the franchise, an evolution for the franchise to say, we're not that team anymore.
Right.
But the Raiders went out on Sunday, and everything they heard in the offseason from the national media, from the quote-unquote the
disrespect
for the team, the rankings, their quarterback, their coach, they proved them all right.
That's that they fed into every narrative, every negative narrative and perception about them. And they went all in on that to the point where, again, I kind of feel a little silly right now. For giving that respect to them. And I'm just tired of hearing all of that. The only guy last week, it was Devontae Adams. Somebody had asked him about, you know, the quarter that they played. He's like, well, that doesn't mean we're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, let's you know, got to do this consistently. He was the one guy out of there were others that were talking about the disrespect and all that after one good quarter of football. Let's face it. How many quarters have they even won this year? They're closer to being 0-3 than they are 1-2 or for sure 3-0. They've won. If you want to give them the fourth quarter yesterday in garbage time, okay. If you want to give them that, they've won 2 of 12 quarters this year. Come on, man. Come on.
It's one of those situations where you take stock, and you're taking stock in week 3, and I mean, we were all in the locker room last night, and we're talking to a number of players, which we're going to hear from later today into tomorrow over the course of this show. And they ran out of answers. I cannot tell you how many times I heard back to the drawing board last night. Now, normally, you know, you hear back to the drawing board. It's kind of one of those easy phrases just to kind of move on, get the sound bite, kind of move along. Nobody had answers. When asked what went wrong, why was this such a poor performance, couldn't get a straight answer. Couldn't get a single straight answer. And we talk about all the time, any given Sunday, right? Any team can win. This is the NFL. This is the elite of the elite. This one was different. This one should have been different. And for a franchise that we continue to talk about shoulda, coulda, woulda, once again on a Monday, we're talking about another head coach earning his first career victory in the National Football League. You know, the San Jose Sharks in hockey are notorious for if a player is making their NHL debut, it is almost a guarantee that that player is going to score if they're playing the San Jose Sharks. It's laughable about how many times that has happened in the hockey world. That's all I could think about with when it comes to Dave Canales, and that's not a dig at
They
Dave
hadn't
Canales.
Had a lead in the fourth quarter in like over 20 games. They've won games on last-second field goals where they didn't lead, they went from behind or tied to winning, and as time expired. This is a team that had lost 17 of their last 19 games. 17 of their last 19 games. And the Raiders couldn't muster up enough of an effort to win the game. We said last week, you know, yeah, they'll take any win by any means necessary, but that doesn't necessarily mean they would be happy
They weren't going to feel good about it. Yeah.
Let alone, and there's
not
no
just a loss.
There's no way the defense can sit here and say, well, you know, we got worn out because the offense wasn't doing it. From the get-go, they couldn't stop the run. This is the third straight game of over 100 yards rushing that the Raiders have allowed. That's effort. That's tackling. That's doing your job at a high level. Mm-hmm. When you're getting pushed around, when you're getting owned at the line of scrimmage, at the point of attack, that's on you. The offensive line, give me a break. Another bad performance by the offensive line. No running game to speak of. Gardner Minshew was, you know, didn't have a whole lot of time to throw. Gardner Minshew had a game. There was nothing special about anything that he did. It was just sort of, I mean, I'm not saying that he was going through the motions, but it felt like they were all going through the motions.
It looked like week one Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
It
looked like pretty much the majority of Gardner Minshew, except for that one quarter, right?
That's fair. That's,
you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to be as as possible.
What can we say? They didn't just lose. They got run out of their own stadium.
It's embarrassing what happened yesterday.
They got booed.
Rightfully
multiple
so.
Occasions throughout the game, first half, second half, end of half, multiple times. This is not us. This is not us. This the fans let them know what it looked like and how they felt in real time.
You know, we had our outing at the Creston Rue on Saturday night.
Yeah,
we had Raider fans coming from Iowa, Philadelphia, Baltimore, Chicago. Obviously, the Bay Area, Southern California, everyone was revved up. And it kills me because I know they're hurting today. They were so ready to celebrate. They were so ready to buy in. They were so ready to be confident in this team and to have a coronation game yesterday. That was the most Raider-centric crowd that I can remember at Allegiant Stadium.
Yep.
It was all black.
And
it
maybe
was
all year.
Ominous. Yeah, maybe all year, exactly. It was ominous. It felt like a Raider crowd. You looked at it, and there was a gloomy, beautiful, dark kind of sense to it, you know, with everyone in their black and silver and black.
100%.
And Antonio Pierce pleaded with fans to come out last week. Show support, you know. Make Allegiant Stadium a home field advantage for us. And they did. The fans responded.
Loud.
Like I said, they came from all over. They put their hard-earned money toward this. It doesn't cost an insignificant amount of money to get out here to Vegas and to stay at the hotels here in Vegas.
To eat,
to have
to
fun,
to come
join us at Creston Rue and eat and drink and have a great time. That costs a lot of money, and forget about the heart part of it. The wallet part of it as well, and this fan base keeps turning out and keeps supporting and keeps trying to believe, and they keep getting let down. Let's be honest with you, and so yesterday was just again feeding into every negative or skeptical narrative that's out there about the Raiders, and I'm sitting here and saying, that's all warranted. Don't talk to me about disrespect anymore. I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want to hear players or coaches talking about that as if everyone else is wrong and they're right. Prove it. Earn it for once. Earn it. Do it consistently. As Devontae Adams said, it's got to be what you are every day you come into that building. Everything that you do in that building has to reflect a consistent level of effort and buy-in and focus and dialed in, and do that every single day. It doesn't take, as he said, an occasional time doing that. It has to be who you are on a consistent basis. And until they get to that level mentality, then they're going to be susceptible to these types of performances, which 3 days ago I would have said was inexplicable, would have been inexplicable.
We did say it. Well,
In retrospect, considering their track record, it's not inexplicable at all. We shouldn't be surprised at this point.
Yeah,
sadly.
I'm surprised that I am surprised, I guess.
I think a lot of fans
are sitting there that did buy into that hope and confidence. They're sitting here today being like, why do I do this to myself? Because then it becomes you're turning on yourself kind of thing. Why do I do this to myself? And to your point, the fans, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of time, effort, devotion, money that is devoted to this team. And the one thing that Antonio Pierce said went right on Sunday, the only thing, was the fans, and they showed up. And, well, that's great to hear, and, you know, we finally saw a true Raiders, you know, dominated crowd. You didn't see a visiting team. Well, that was awesome to see, and it was awesome to hear. What was the payoff?
Now we got our ass whooped.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean.
And fans leaving tails between their legs, seething, upset, embarrassed, and they have a right to feel all of those emotions today. And they have a right to have a healthy amount of skepticism about this team until that team starts earning that belief. Forget about disrespect. It's not disrespect to not believe in a team that hasn't done anything to warrant any true belief. You can't expect people to give it up to you by going 5-4 down the stretch. Whoop-dee freaking do. 5-4. Are you kidding me? That's average. That's really mediocre, actually. You want to earn respect? Earn it. Truly earn it. And stop talking about it. It's falling on deaf ears, number one, and it's kind of laughable. It's embarrassing that you're begging for that respect without first having earned that respect.
702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. I know it may be difficult. It's a tough one to get out of bed today, but we want to hear from you. We want to hear from the nation. We want to hear from the tailgaters. And the big question as we move forward a little bit, Antonio Pierce had an interesting comment post-game, Clay. An interesting comment that is now, I don't want to say overshadowing what we saw in the game, because we're going to break down what we saw Sunday. But here's what he had to say when asked why the lack of inspiration to start week three.
No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
Now, that's a quick soundbite. We're going to hear it a few times throughout the show. And I'm sure a lot of people have already heard it. If not, they've seen the quote. That is a loaded thing to say. And I know Antonio Pierce has always talked about, since he's got this gig, one of the biggest, I don't know if challenges is the right word, but one of the biggest things that he has to keep in mind is you can't be emotional. You can't be emotional on a win or a loss. And it was clear he was
agitated.
He was agitated and he was emotional and
pissed.
Rightfully so, just as anybody in that stadium was or should be. But when the head coach of your football team, week three of your home opener, is saying players on the field, we're making business decisions. Now, before we get into it, yeah, Vinny, help define that before I ask your take on what you made of it. Help define when a fan hears a coach saying that players just saying, you know, I'm making a business decision.
Probably, I mean, the only way I think we can interpret it is that he felt like some players just kind of mailed it in and like, I'm not going to put myself in harm's way in a game that's, we're not going to win.
I'll give you a real life example. Christian McCaffrey, his draft year, having an unbelievable year at Stanford, made a business decision to not play in the bowl game.
Absolutely 1,000% right decision.
Yeah. I'm not saying here. I'm just saying. Giving you a prime example of what a business decision looks like.
A big running back's coming at you. You're a safety, and you kind of olay it a little bit. Like, I want to live to see the next – or not live, but I want to be able to play the next play. So, you know what? I'm not going to necessarily put myself in harm's way to tackle Derrick Henry in the open field right now.
There you go.
I'll give it a, you know, eh.
There you go.
Okay, so that's in essence.
Another business decision. An injury guarantee at the end of the year. You don't play that, you're out of the playoffs, a Derek Carr situation. The Raiders made a business decision.
For sure.
Not to play Derek Carr because of an injury guarantee, money. Those things, okay, understand. When Antonio Pierce is talking about is what you just, that example you just
gave. They kind of quit.
When you talk about.
Played it safe.
Not going all out.
Right.
Not going all out. And that's an effort thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what have we heard with Antonio Pierce's football teams? Effort was never going to be a question. This team was never not going to be ready or geeked up to play a game. It's week three. And he's saying he saw it in real time. Guy or guys make business decisions of not going all out.
Now,
the loss is one thing. Getting blown out is another. But now the fact that your head coach has to question guys he and this front office picked on the roster about going all out, much bigger problems now.
There's a school of thought, and I've gotten this response from some people that's something that you got to keep in house. You don't publicly say something like that as a coach. The theory being you're going to lose your locker room if you do that. You're going to lose. My question is who should we truly be care enough about in that locker room right now? Not so much care, you know, about them as people, but like who should he be worried about losing right now? Like where is the leadership of this team?
You're saying you're saying what? Why not say that is what you're saying, Antonio Pierce? Because what's the risk of
who? The risk of who and what? Like,
because if he's calling out somebody who's not giving a lot, you don't want that player anyways, and the other guys in that room don't want that noise as well. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, like would I have said it? Maybe not. But at the same time, you know, because of that, you know, you don't want to alienate yourself and lose maybe your locker room. But at the same time, I'm like, whose feelings should we really be so worried about in that locker room? Again, it goes back to that belief and that respect and all that. Earn it. Because I feel like he was probably on to something yesterday. And I don't know who he was necessarily talking about. There were a couple of plays. I don't really want to, I don't feel comfortable talking about it because I don't know. Like, I don't know if that
was. I'm glad you said that. I wanted to preface this as we get into this discussion. We're not going to speculate on who that was.
Right.
Max Crosby said when we asked him, what do you make of that? And he simply said, I don't know, but the film does not lie. We'll see it on the film.
Right.
So we can speculate all we want. We're not going to on this show in terms of calling out names or numbers. We all are going to open up the phone line, 702-365-9200, to see what you make of it and what you will of it. But, yeah, we're not going to do that here. One, out of respect.
Right,
for,
I don't.
Because we don't know.
I'm not
going to
question anybody's individual
effort.
There you go. Yeah, and basically their integrity as well. But Antonio Pierce certainly felt like Antonio Pierce, standing there on the sidelines, saw some things that didn't sit well with him in terms of that effort.
We have plenty more to dive into here on the Morning Tailgate. Again, we want to hear from you, Raider Nation, Tailgaters, 702-365-9200. Business decisions were made. What do you make of it, Tailgate?
I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. No, they didn't. I think as the game went on, I don't think it was a team. I think there was definitely some individuals that made business decisions. And we'll make business decisions going forward as well.
702-365-9200. It's beyond a therapy sesh at this point. You've had it inside you as soon as we got into the studio. The phones were ringing off the hook. So let's hear from you at 702-365-9200.
Clay, you know what's interesting? And I just want to say this. There's going back to the speculation of business decisions and who we're talking about. We're going to find out. It's not going to take long. Whether it's the depth chart, whether it's what we see at practice on Wednesday, or who we see trotting out against the Cleveland Browns Sunday at Allegiant Stadium, we're going to find out. It's not going to be this long-standing mystery The guys in the room already know who it is. The coaches have already poured through the film. They've already, if Antonio Pierce has seen this in real time, and what was that? What was that? His third answer of the presser?
Yes.
Second answer? I mean, it was at the tip of his tongue. And you know what? It probably happened. And I'm not, again, I'm speculating now, but in terms of, he says, as the game moved along, that means he was stewing about this and sitting on this and seeing it for some time in the game. He's not talking about something that happened in the fourth quarter in garbage time. We're not talking about Aiden O'Connell coming in.
No, he's probably talking about when it was 14-7.
Exactly. Late in the first half when it became 21-7.
That's how it probably became 21-7.
That's when So
let me ask you this real quick.
Yes.
We haven't gotten into this.
Let's get into
it. Real quick, before I forget. It was the Aiden O'Connell appearance indicator of what might be happening moving forward?
Yes.
Do you give Aiden O'Connell a shot on Sunday?
I'll be honest, I'm surprised he didn't come in the game sooner.
Right, but what I'm saying is,
is it time
to give Aiden O'Connell a shot? A lot of fans, you know, my wife was at the game. She was saying that a lot of fans were calling for Aiden to get put in the game.
Short answer, yes. I mean, just it's how many quarters? How many?
One.
No. Well, so he didn't play the fourth, or he played middle of the fourth quarter, right?
Gardner,
because Aiden got one drive.
Yeah,
that late last drive. Mm-hmm. So that's
11 and a half quarters
of futility.
Yeah, there was one good quarter.
10 and a half quarters of futility.
We have to agree. Fair.
Yeah, 10 and a half quarters of futility.
No matter what some of the numbers have
said. Look, I know Antonio Pierce has said when he named. I know what he said in the offseason. I know. When he picked a guy, he was gonna be the guy, and he was going to give him a chance, and he was going to let him. I mean, when is enough enough? I mean, you talk about a season, not wanting a season to get off the rails. I know it's week three. It was a bad loss. But have you seen anything sustainable? And when I say sustainable, the way the Raiders' offense wants to run, what I saw in Baltimore, to me, while it was a nice flash, and
it was a by any means necessary.
And I will sit there and I will stand by what I said last week. I thought it was a sample of things to come. Because, with the caveat, I did not think the running game was going to be as bad as it was in Baltimore, where they had 4 yards of rushing in the first half. I said, as a byproduct with the running game, it can only get better. I'll stand by that from
it
what
got
I
better.
Said last week.
It did get better,
and the
Vince.
Running game did get better. However, the passing game...
The running game was...
It was better by a statistical standard.
Let's qualify
standard.
That. We're being facetious
yes,
here.
Yes. Thank you.
We're totally being
Sometimes
facetious.
Sarcasm doesn't reach through
right.
the radio
I wanted to
waves.
Make sure everyone understood. Like, did Vince really just say that the running game was better? No, it wasn't better. And
that
it's
was
not
dripping in sarcasm. But what I'm saying is, I said, look, if Gardner can do that in flashes, that's a good sign moving forward that once the running game gets going, that he can do more. The running game... As
non-existent,
as snail a moving,
it's non-existent.
It moved the needle, maybe
right,
maybe a fraction.
They got from here to here.
Instead of 1 yard gains, you're getting 3 yard gains.
Yeah,
and what I saw out of Aiden in that final drive, look, the Panthers weren't playing what they were playing. It was not the same in the first half as what we saw Aiden. I understand that.
However,
but man, like what are we doing at this point? How many times are we just going to see these three and out series of? Overthrows or squirrely in the pocket and different
holding on to the ball. And look,
do you agree do you disagree?
Does that point out is the season on the brink? Is that when you turn to Aiden O'Connell before the season?
I mean, everything that's being said
brink?
In this post game, I don't know how you can question it. I mean, he's questioning business decisions. You're getting blown out in your home opener by arguably one of the most historically poor franchises in recent memory.
For sure.
And I don't know how you can't start, and I hope this is coming across. This is not an overreaction.
No.
Everything we have said so
warranted.
Far is absolute fact based
right.
on what we saw 24 hours
Look,
ago.
Look, when Antonio talked about, you know, you make your decision and you stick with your decision, but that's under the presumption that somebody was going to win the job decidedly. Remember, he kept saying, I need somebody to
take
this thing by the bull, take the bull by the horns and win it and make this an easy decision. That never happened. And, you know, I had a conversation with Adam Hill. He's convinced that Gardner won this job decidedly. I completely reject that. It was almost a toss-up by the end. You know, it was like, okay, because did you feel like one
Never.
Or the other won
Never.
It decidedly? It was
it's, no.
You had to make a decision. And they went with the veteran, a guy that, you know, has won a few games in this league and can make some plays with his legs a little bit. So it's not like, man, you know, he was so much better than Aiden O'Connell. Do we really make that? Or should we even be thinking about making this change?
We're on the same page of that.
Yeah.
The job was not won. And so to that point, when you say make a decision and stick with it, I do not feel the parameters are the same as we have now.
Didn't earn it.
Week three. So, Clay, that's kind of where I want to hear what the nation and the tailgaters have to say, and I don't want to keep them waiting.
Jared in Las Vegas, your first go-ahead.
Hey, Jared.
Hey, Jared, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good morning,
everybody. Thank you for having me on today.
Thanks for doing
it. Unfortunately, I'm making the call. You know, last week I called in about scars of a Raider fan, right?
Yep.
And damn if they didn't do it again, you know. And you know, Vinny, I respect you for coming out and saying, you know, what you said this morning and kind of apologizing. But you don't need to apologize to anybody, man. You didn't put that performance on tape. They did. You believed in what was being sold. They didn't believe in what was being sold. And the biggest problem I have is that everybody wants to jump to Aiden O'Connell. And I don't think it's an Aiden O'Connell or a Gardner Minshew problem. We can't block.
True.
This team cannot block. The offensive line is the worst in the league, and it's not even close. And I don't think I'm being hyperbolic by saying that. They can't protect anything. So if they can't figure this out, if they can't find some guys on that bench that want to prove that they belong in this league, this is going to just be, you know, a microcosm of the whole season, because there's no way that you're going to compete in this division with the physicality that's out there. I don't know if anybody saw what happened with the Broncos yesterday, but they ain't no walkover. And you know what? We have some serious soul searching that needs to be done in that locker room, because the effort that I saw, it was lackluster, and it wasn't just by one person. It was by a whole lot of the 24 to you know, 26 guys that were playing in rotation in that first half. It was bad. I didn't want to make this call. I wanted to believe that the culture had changed. But
Jared, let me ask you, is that the biggest surprise? The lack of effort for you? I know the loss hurts and getting blown out and the execution, I understand all that, but is that the biggest surprise for you?
The biggest surprise for me is definitely that, Vince. The biggest surprise for me is that we bought in to an Antonio Pierce team is never going to lack that effort. Man, this team played without passion, and I am reminded of a famous NFL Films quote by Brian Dawkins. Respect is not given, it is earned, doggone it. And they haven't earned a damn thing.
Yep.
Disappointment all over. I can't believe I have to make this call.
Jared,
appreciate it, brother.
Glad you did, Jared. Thanks for starting it off strong.
Strong call.
702-365-9200. We got several calls from Las Vegas, including Brazy. Brazy, it's been a while. Go ahead.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. You know what? I appreciate the conversation having this morning. It kind of gave me a chuckle because I hear Vinny saying, "Earn it, damn it!" And you guys are just welcome to the dark side. You know, you're really helping a lot of us Raider Nation get through this here. You know, I was saying it's either a new era or it's the same old Raiders. Well, damn it, it's the same old Raiders.
Yep.
You know, the players have changed, the coaches have changed, and it just keeps happening. The only thing we can hang on to is that this coach can finally change the culture over some time, right? This hopefully this can happen. And, you know, Aiden, Gardner, you know, I don't know. But all I know is when you run off behind Colton, you seem to get 6 to 7 yards. When you try and run up the middle, you get zero. I don't know. Maybe going over Colton more. And hopefully JPJ can get in there and get a little feistiness in there. But I appreciate the conversation this morning. I was laughing as Vinny was going through his rant. You know, hey, just now you feel our pain. But, you know, hey, we're going to be out there again, the Raider Nation. We're going to be out there because that's what we do. We win, lose, or tie, Raiders till we die. Hopefully that can somehow carry over into the team and we can get it going. Yes, if we can win, we'll be 2-2. Then let's get going. But, hey, I just appreciate the conversation. I've been chuckling here. Welcome to the dark side.
Brazy is everything that is right with the Nation. He is down. He is... Here we go again. But what did he just say?
We'll be back out there.
We'll be out there again. And you know, sometimes you feel like you don't deserve that. You know, as a team, you should hear that and be like, do we deserve this?
Right. Absolutely.
Because, Brazy is one of many.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands. Hundreds of thousands, not just in Vegas, not just in the country. The Raiders are an international brand. And that kind of passion is everywhere.
Last week you were talking about how, and again, I fully apologize because, you know, I was just, you know, I just apologize and I feel silly for the confidence that I showed in the team.
No,
but
I'm
you said last week, you know, it's not even going to take a win over, even a big win over the Carolina Panthers isn't going to get the national media to start buying in and showing them more respect. We were over the Panthers.
We were talking about the conversation come Wednesday
right.
of the following week.
It was going to take a couple more.
Vinny, you know, I feel the exact same. I feel, you know, like I just got kicked in the gut because I planted my flag last week on this team turning a corner.
Right.
And he said, Brazy, new era, same old Raiders. It was one of the two.
New culture, same old results.
And, you know, I'm right there with you. I apologize to the Nation for instilling any false hope that we may have done. I didn't see this. I didn't see this. Not only did I not see a loss, I did not see the lifeless loss that we saw in week three, Clay.
I agree. And I just feel like in retrospect, we should have. That's the thing. That's what's so, I think, sad when you talk about this, is that it really isn't that surprising because at every turn, this is kind of how the Raiders have historically, in recent years, responded, Clay.
More calls coming up next. We'll also hear from Eric Allen, our Monday morning cornerback. He'll join us at 8 a.m., top of the next hour. It's The Gate.
The therapist session continues here on The Morning Tailgate, 702-365-9200. Normally, we try and lighten it up, but we continue to hear from the Nation, hear from the tailgaters. And don't want to keep the callers waiting any longer than we have to.
Juan in Las Vegas, thank you for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Well, as I mentioned, yes, Las Vegas local, longtime season ticket holder. And I know a couple segments ago, you guys said that you guys didn't want to speculate as far as performance and everything. But after everything I've spent, I think I've earned a right to at least put out my 2 cents out there. Trayvon Morig and Hockey Turns, as the last line of defense, it's everybody's net. It's everybody's end zone. Missing tackles, open tackles. Yeah. Trust me, not going to be surprised. That's the first surprise that I'm not going to be surprised. Tyree Wilson looks like James, plays like Big Kitty Cat, and I'll let everybody out there to figure out the reference of Big Kitty Cat. And Gardner Minshew, the only thing that he's famous for is those Daisy Dukes and that 1980 adult film stash. Other than that, I don't know what this team has to do. AP has to figure it out. And if I was a Nation, if you really want to make an impact, I would highly suggest going on YouTube, watching a clip of a New Zealand versus Mexico soccer match. Nobody showed up to that. Nope. Because Mexico soccer fans are huge everywhere. Nobody showed up to that matchup in Pasadena, California. I think we should take the same approach. Have a good day, gentlemen.
Thanks, Juan. That is a strong take. And that is very accurate. That Mexico New Zealand game, especially in Southern California and Pasadena. So
send a message.
You know, that's two ends of the spectrum. We heard from Brazy, who said, I'll be right back out there Sunday at Allegiant, Raiders till we die. And then there's one going with a different approach, trying to get his message across. It's tough. It's tough to get mad at any kind of feeling today based on what we saw week three.
Raider T, Walnut Creek, you're up, my friend.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Hey, it's interesting. Towards the end of the game, I saw a specific play where I was like, this guy's making a business decision, and it's interesting seeing the head coach say that in the press conference. I mean,
who's that?
I can give you a name. So you remember that drive when Bennett, I think, looked like he tripped in the end zone and they called him for PI?
Mm-hmm.
On that drive earlier on, there was a handoff, and I love this guy. I think he's important for our team, and we need him for our success. But Jones, the DB, I think it's Jones, right? Number 18?
Yeah.
There was a run where it looked like he was moving out of the way. A linebacker was trying to tackle the guy, and he was, like, specifically moving away. And I was like, oh, my God, that looks horrible. And then on that play in the end zone where they called Bennett for the PI, right afterwards they took him out of the game. He went to the sideline, and I saw Jones on the sideline. And I don't know if it was because of that play or if he got injured or something, but I would highlight Jones for you guys to look at if you review the film and see what you think.
I know Jack got hurt. He there was a hand injury at some point. I don't know if he came off the field.
I thought he got dinged up.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a physical play where, he was really holding on to his hand. So I'm wondering if that might have been the reason why he was on the sideline.
Okay. All right. Well, in terms of the game, the general feel for me was it was like back in high school or college, and it was our homecoming game, and we're Michigan, and we scheduled Appalachian State to, like, beat up on them. And at the end of the game, Appalachian State wins, and, like, how the hell did that just happen? Nobody showed up. That was the feel I had. And I had that feel in the second quarter. It was already like, they're going to blow this game. They're not coming back. And I couldn't believe it, because you're talking about a franchise that had, the worst record in the NFL 2 years in a row now, and they just pulled their quarterback. And not only did we lose, we didn't lose on some fluke ending. They embarrassed us. So there's a lot of soul searching. I think what AP needs to do is, you remember last year when we had Marcus Peters and he decided this guy is mailing it in and he's not putting 100% effort? He cut him. You know what? I think he needs to send a message to somebody, because there's other guys out there, and whatever they're doing, nobody on this team other than Max and a couple others are necessary. So I think he needs to send a message. If you're not going to be all in, you're out of here.
Thanks for the call. As I said, I don't think it's going to take long for whatever decision happens in terms of finding out what he was not happy with. It's not going to take long for us to find out in terms of what they do, whether it's the depth chart, what we see at practice, or who trots out on Sunday.
Swift action could be occurring this week. We got about a minute, Raider Mike. Go ahead.
Oh, we need a sit down. Are you kidding me with this? That was absolutely horrifying. I do not know what happened there. It was basically, I was in the 49ers hood, their main clubhouse here in Portland. And they went down too. But they were painfully aware of what was going on with us. We still care about each other. I don't know why that happens, but it just does. That Bay Bridge, it's a connection, you know, but I have no idea what happened, and it needs to be explained quickly.
Mike, we appreciate the call. Thank you for doing it. It's awesome. Good to hear from you. It's good that you're able to break bread with the 49er fans.
I guess that's a positive.
Because it was the only way you could get DirecTV in Portland to watch the games. I understand, man. That's good. But there's a, like you said, there could be swift action this week, and that would be the cause and effect of an embarrassing home loss like that, because you became the Panthers' get-right game.
When you have a strong take like that from Antonio Pierce following that loss, anything less than swift action is going to be put
all
even
talk.
will be under microscope even more.
Right.
So we're going to continue to dive deep into what went wrong in week three. On the other side, Eric Allen, Monday morning cornerback, will join us, try and pick up the pieces from this one.